Amen. Come on. There we go. Yep, they're all right. If you have your Bibles this evening, go to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. It's been a wonderful day in the Lord's house. Amen.
Amen.
Seeing three wonderful people get baptized this morning and more to come and people joining and people getting saved this week. For the ones that didn't hear, two younger people got saved at Grow on Thursday. Brother Xavier led them to the Lord. So it's been a wonderful week as far as just seeing people saved. But as you see, Pastor's not here this evening. He's out, and he said, "I'm up." And I said, "I got it." Not really. I need you guys to bear with me because, as you see, I don't have my glasses on. I thought I was, you know, still 18 playing basketball, and, you know, I got bumped in the face and they broke. I got a cut above my eye. And so if you see me sitting here kind of like scatterbrained looking real close, that's why. But just bear with me, please, and we'll get to it. But I want to talk about what are they going to say about what we are doing. And you say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, what are you doing for the cause of Christ? We go day in and day out. We got our command, go ye therefore. And the question is are you doing it? Before this, I had another message talking about David, and literally about 20 minutes in, I got here, and the Lord just kind of changed my heart as far as what message. So this is what I got. Mark 14, if you could, stay in honoring God's word. We're going to just look here in just one verse, and then we'll pray and get right into it. But verse 9, Mark 14, verse 9, and it says this, "Verily, I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her." God, I thank you for this wonderful day. I thank you for everybody that's here. I thank you for the visitors that's come. And God, I just ask that you just speak through me. If there's somebody in here that's struggling with whatever it is, that they'll just lay it at your feet. God, I just ask that you just be with our pastor, keep him safe, be with the ones that couldn't be here due to sickness, that you just heal them back up, get them back in the fold. And God, I just ask you keep everyone safe as they travel home this evening. And Lord, we love you. In name pray. Amen.
Amen.
And so, again, what will they say about what we are doing? There's a lot of people, there's a lot of hate in this world, there's a lot of things that are going on, and there's a lot of people that just, you know, hate. There's a lot of hate. And, you know, Brother Logan, he told me, he said he brought his Bible, he was carrying around, he didn't even realize he was carrying around, and someone asked him, he went to the gas station, because we're a bunch of gas station junkies, and the gas station clerk said, "Why are you carrying your Bible around?" Why not? You know, we carry our phones around, we carry all different things around. I carry this stupid little flashlight, I don't know if I'm going to get trapped in the dark, but I just carry it anyway. And, you know, but what's wrong with carrying God's Word around? I'm just being honest, but I have been watching way back, and I still watch every once in a while still, just because I think I'm a detective at times, but I just kind of keep my opinions to myself. But the whole Charlie Kirk thing, you sit there and you think of what he was known for and what he did for his life and such, but people cannot say enough about what all he did in his life. And it's the same thing for us as well. I'm not even talking about the whole political stuff, but every video that I watch that just talks about, you know, Jesus saved my life, and Jesus did this, and Jesus is first. Are you doing the same exact thing? Are you keeping Jesus first? Are you keeping the main thing, or are you letting the world come in and that's the main thing? You know, good old Charlie, he came in at the scene at the age of 17. I've been telling the teens quite often is get some goals in your life. There's too many teens in today's world that they don't know what they're going to do when they graduate. They say, "I'm going to go to college." They say, "I'm going to do this." They say, "I'm going to do that." And they go in, and because I was this teen. I went in and wasted $12,000 to be and Carter can attest to this, to be a professional ping pong player. I went in, I did my classes, and then right after my classes that I failed, I went straight into the whatever the study room, whatever, that ping pong table in there, and they had a teacher, whatever you want to call them, that was third in Ohio of ping pong. So every day, it's just out there just sweating, just going back and forth. And there's too many teens that are the same way. And so the enjoyment of being the youth pastor and sitting there saying, hey, get some goals in your life. Set a year goal. Set a two-year goal. Some of them are about to graduate, and they're just like, yeah, I'm just going with the flow. And us adults are the same way. We wake up, we do the same thing. We wake up, we do the same thing. But we wake up, oh, I forgot to pray today. Oh, I wake up, I didn't even read today. Oh, I'm going to bed now. And we're just going through the motions. And the motions. But you sit there and think, he died at the age of 31. You sit there and think, let's not even put Charlie there. Let's talk about Jesus. He was born. Age 12, he went and he was preaching in the synagogue. His own parents forgot about him. And then 33 and a half, he died. He was doing exactly what he was supposed to do. He was willingly to go to the cross. He didn't get pushed to the cross. He didn't get dragged to the cross. He willingly went to get sacrificed. And you sit there and you see how cool that is. You picture your favorite, whatever person that's not here anymore. Grandparent, but you remember them by something. What are you going to be remembered when you are gone? Are you going to be remembered as, oh, I was a Jesus follower? Some of you guys are going to be like, really? But, you know, I was doing a job for a lady. Her name was Miss Denise. And, you know, I was sitting there just sharing the gospel with her and her husband, Frank. And when they saw the Assurance Baptist sign on my shirt, they're like, oh, you're a Christian? And I'm like, don't get me wrong. I really don't like the word Christian anymore because there's so many people that says, oh, I'm a Christian. And they live just like the world. I just want to be called, I'm a Bible follower. I'm a Jesus lover. Because I'd rather be called that than, oh, you're a Christian. But they were so excited to see another Christian in their home to do some work that was loyal, that was somebody that they could trust. And then it was the easy open door to conversation. But then the whole Mr. Frank, they had this beautiful dog. They were moving, unfortunately. I shared the gospel with him, and he's like, oh, man, brother, I read the Bible three times a year. And I'm like, well, praise God. I get to here and just be with around other people like that. And so they had this dog, and he's like, do you want a dog? And I was like, I love your dog, but I don't necessarily want a dog, but I love the dog. And, you know, so when my kids say we got a dog, we did bring the dog home. It's an older dog, and it doesn't jump, and it doesn't do all kinds of stuff. But just in case they're like, Brandon, you got another dog? Yes, I did. But anyway. So, the question is this. What will they be saying about what we are doing? In Mark 14, this passage is a demonstration of the woman's love for the Lord. If you know the backstory of this, we're going to read it here just in a second. But this woman brings the most prized possession to Christ. This most expensive, it's a lot of money. And she says, here, I'm going to give you everything, because she doesn't want to hold back. And she's known for that. You sit there and you think, over time and time, you sit there and read it, however many times you read through God's Word, we're reading, we're remembering, we're preaching about it, we're teaching about it, whatever you want to say, but this woman, she's known. And you sit there and you see how important that is going through all these other Christians in life, all these pastors that has gone with the Lord, that they're known to either be Bible preaching pastors, they're known to be soul winners, they're known to disciple people, they're known just to be out in public and be, again, Jesus freaks, you might as well call them, but they're all known for something. And this woman was known to give her prized possession because she wanted to give all to the Lord, and she wasn't holding back halfway in the world. You think of a ladder. Is, you know, you go up a ladder that's an A-frame ladder. If you're going up one side, cool. But a lot of us, we're trying to go up both sides at the same time. And it doesn't work. But this passage is not about the work that Jesus did. The whole world could not contain what all Jesus did during his ministry. This passage is not about what God was doing in her life or had done. This story is about what she did. Matthew 5:16, everybody knows this. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. You sit there to see how important that is, you know, if you're out there being with the world, you're whatever you may be, drinking, smoking, thugging, whatever it might be, and you're out there with the world, guess what? That's what the world's going to see. But when your light is shining before men and you're doing the works of God, that's what they're going to see in you. They're going to say, wow, that guy's awesome. Wow, I'm going to have to go to church with that guy or that woman, whatever it may be. But you sit there and you see how cool that is because, again, you sit there and you let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Like just like what preacher said on Saturday during men's prayer breakfast. Is everything you do, you're glorifying God. It doesn't matter if you're at work and it's the worst job there is. It doesn't matter if you're at the gym suffering all the pain. That's what I'm suffering right now, to be honest with you. My body hurts and Braxton keeps jumping on me and it's just not fun. But whatever it may be, you're doing it all for the glory of God. And remember that, because when you're out in public and you're sitting there mad, I had to repent of myself, and you know, I'm just going to tell my sins just because that's what I do, I guess. But I'm driving down the road, I'm, you know, excited, I'm going to go hunting. I got all three kids with me, and I suckered my dad. I said, "Dad, I need a break. I want to go hunting just for a few hours, all right? And I'm going to go to your house. Can you watch the kids?" "Yeah, I can do that." Well, while I was driving there, my dad's house is like an hour and 10, hour and 15 minutes away, which is to me forever. But I'm driving and driving, and this guy cuts me off, flips me off, and for some odd reason, you know, Satan grabbed a hold of that and just yanked me, and I was like, I'm getting in front of you, guy, let's go. And I'm flying now at this point. I have my kids, and I had to repent of it. And the guy, I get next to the guy, and I'm looking at the guy, and then I'm like sitting there yelling, I'm like, pull over, like I was really going to do something. Then Braxton says, "Dad, why are you yelling at that guy?" "You're right, son. I shouldn't have been doing that." So, you know, my prayer time, and I had to repent. But this whole drive, it was like the Lord was just, you know, telling me something. It took me, you know, an hour and 10. It took me 2.5 hours to get to my dad's. I get all the way to my dad's. Short story here is I forgot the milk. For the ones that don't know, I got an 8-month-old baby. And, yeah, so I forgot the milk. So I said, "Well, good seeing you, Dad. It's good seeing you, Grandma. I got to go back home." But I was so frustrated. My light wasn't shining for the right reasons. I'm just being honest with you. But if you and I are living a life of good works, it will be noticed and it will be reflected our love for God and bring Him glory. Memorial here, it just means that by which the memory of any person or thing is preserved, a remembrance. We all have that. We had a remembrance for Brother Rick. And you sit there and you see, I love the man dearly, but it's praise God that he's in heaven today. And you sit there and you see, if you believe in Christ and you 100% put your full faith into Him, then we can be in heaven. And so what will people say about you after you're dead and gone? If you ask, you'll get a wide variety of responses. Some are super spiritual. Some are a complete cop-out. But the question still stands, what will they be saying about what we are doing? This woman is an inspiration to me. But let's see here of number one, the extravagance of her work. There in Mark 14:3, if you go back a few verses there, it says this, "And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she broke the box, poured it on his head." You see there, it's the most precious thing. Back then, it's a lot of money. I didn't get the numbers and all that such in my head, but you sit there and you think, that here in a second we're about to go, and they're mad. They're like, "Why did you waste this? This is worth a lot of money, and you're wasting it on this man for what?" And that's how we treat, you know, our Christ in today's world. "Oh, I got a big old check this week, and you know, I got a whatever it may be, a new vehicle in mind. I got a vacation in mind, and it's all mine. But when it's time to do something for God, you're just thinking about you. But you just think about what Christ did for you. She wasn't worried about doing too much. She wasn't worried about the cost. She spent almost a year's wages on one act of worship. She invested a year of her labor and work on this one display of love for the Lord. There was no hesitation, there was no reserve, and there was no calculators and spreadsheets and accounting experts weighing in on it. The terminating factor is that she loved Jesus. She was a Jesus freak. She didn't care about anything else. She saw Jesus and she said, "Get out of my way, get out of my way, get out of my way." But you know, for some of us, and this is including myself sometimes, is on Sunday mornings, I'm like, "Man, I don't even want to get up. I'm tired." You know, last night we had a movie night, and I tell you what, whoever thought it was the bright idea to have popcorn? Granted, we're supposed to have it outside, but we had to move it in here because I'm not tech enough, and I'm just too dumb to figure out how to do stuff on the screen, out on the little screen. So we moved in here, but you know, there was like popcorn. It looked like a real movie theater in here. Popcorn everywhere. There were snacks everywhere, and there was drinks everywhere. And I'm like, "Oh my gosh, this is ridiculous." But you sit there and you think, some of us we're just too lazy. We're not committed. We're halfway in, halfway out. We're here, we're there, we're up there, we're down here, wherever it may be, but we're so far from Christ that we're trying to get back on track, but the world is just attacking over and over. And that's exactly what's trying to happen to this woman. The woman says, I don't care about you guys. I don't care about you guys. The only thing I care about is my love for Christ. Nothing else. And so there in verse 4, it says, and there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this a waste of the ointment made? You see all these people coming in. You think, I sit here, I think every time I go over this story, I think of the teens because, you know, my friend Brady over here, he'll hand out some flyers at Brookville, and he'll every Wednesday when I have Bible study, he'll be like, man, this person just grabbed it and threw it away. Well, you did your job. That's between them and the Lord. And you sit there and you see how hateful and people are in these schools that when, you know, the teens, not even, there's normally more here, they're helping and some of them have work and all that stuff. But when they always come and tell me, oh, I try to invite this person, but they don't believe. Oh, I invited this person and they just looked at me and said, well, that's stupid. But you see how sad and wicked this world is. And you sit there and you think, the same thing, this woman sitting there just so focused on Christ with this ointment. She's given everything she has, and these people are just pushing her. That's so stupid. Why would you do that? Why would you do this? Why would you do that? It's the same thing for us when we carry our Bible everywhere we go. They're saying the same exact thing. Why would you carry a Bible here? Why would you carry a Bible there? Why would you dress like that at school? Why would you carry a Bible to school? Why would there be a Bible study at school? Why would you do that out in public? Why would you pray out in public? Who cares? Because the only thing that matters, again, is the love for Christ. And so you sit there and you see, you know, this woman, again, that's all she was focused on. She wasn't focused about everything around her. You know, this is my bubble. Stay out of my bubble. And you sit there and you think, that's literally what she said. Get out of my bubble. It's just me and Christ in my bubble. Verse 5. For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor, and they murmured against her. Same thing like in today's world. They just made fun of her. They went against her. They pushed her out of the way. This is what I image in my head. They were out there just, you know, kind of screaming in her face, that's stupid! You're an idiot! But she didn't care what anybody said. She just kept moving forward and said, I'm focused. But sit there and you think, the people that are around her, around you will not always approve of your work or love for God. Some of the people that you thought were your best friends will stab you straight in your back. Right when you bring the word of God around, they're gone. I always tell the youth this, and I'm like, I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer, I'm not trying to be a jerk, but I always tell them, out of all the friends I used to hang out with, none of them is around me no more. Because once I brought this around, once I said, hey, God's more important, once I said, hey, you know, one day I want a family, I want a godly family, you know, I grew up in a separated house, and I tell you what, it was so annoying to me that I told myself I'm never going to do this. And it's the same way as this woman's, again, she's so focused. They didn't mind her giving Jesus something, but not just that much. Oh, they wouldn't have cared if she just went up and hugged Jesus, but she said, hey, I got this, and this is how much I love you, and I'm going to give you everything. And some of us, we're just here, and I'm going to mark this off my checklist for today. I came to church today. I'm here this morning. I'm not coming back tonight because I already gave Jesus some of myself. There's 7 days a week, 24 hours in a day, and half of us can't even read our Bible just for 15 minutes. There's 24 hours in a day, the 7 days in a week, and we can't even pray for more than 5 minutes. And you sit there and you think of, I'm going to end up doing just a little series of prayer in November, and, you know, I told the youth this morning, I lack in my prayer, unfortunately. I think it's the, sometimes it feels like I'm just in the motion, the same thing over and over. And there's times when it's just like, God, what's the point? And I know he answers the prayers because I write them down and I'm like, oh, praise God. I was sitting there telling Pastor this, is that I have four teens that's leaving Northmont Bible Study and God replaced them with four more this year, and they've been faithful since the beginning of the year. And you sit there and you see how exciting when you sit there and look out from the outside in, and you're like, man, God's moving here, God's moving here, God's moving there. You sit there and you think just in this church alone is, you know, we were praying for some families, and all of a sudden we had five new families just started coming and, you know, going in and out, and they're just checking out churches, and they're excited, and here we are. You sit there and think again, is our discipleship program that we're doing with, I don't even know how many is it, we're at this point, over 20 people that's in our discipleship program, and just looking out to in and just seeing some of the young people and the older people, they're all growing in different ways, if it's Bible reading, if it's inviting people, but no matter what it is they're all in and they're saying, I want nothing but Christ. I don't care about nothing else around me just besides Christ and Christ alone. And so they thought her time and money would have been better and spent on other things and other people. You know, I was sitting there telling Brother Carter back there, he's like, did you take a nap? Well, I wish. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. But between having a at this point, I guess a new dog that barks at his shadow, he's literally scared of everything, a baby that sometimes I feel like just cries because it knows it drives me nuts. And then knowing that I was preaching tonight, and I'm like, God, this is where I'm at. I'm sitting there going over it. And then I get all that down, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to start planning my week. And you sit there and you think, everybody's busy. Not just one person's busy 24/7. Everybody's busy at different things. Their job, their time with family, their friends, whatever it may be. But priorities matter. Yes. And you sit there and you think, this woman had a priority. Get out of the way. Get out of the way. She's just swimming through. Get out of the way. We got to be the same way. Church, number one. That's just how I look at it. I guess before God, we did a thing in the Sunday school. And the teens are like, well, God's number one, but what's number two? And we went down, and they were like arguing. It was funny. Arguing between friends and siblings. They said, I think friends should be above siblings. I'm like, dang, I feel bad for some of you siblings. But number three is the exceptionalism of her work. There in verse 6, it says this, and Jesus said, Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. Jesus says, leave her alone. Get out of here. If you don't like it, leave. Don't let the door hit you behind. This is what I think in my head. But Jesus says, well, why? Why? She's doing something good and she's all in. What about you, hooligans? You guys only want to come to me when you want something, but other than that, you leave me alone. And we're the same way. Jesus, I really, really need this today. But, you know, I'm not going to talk to you again until the end of the week. When the Bible says, pray without ceasing. Yes. Bible says, cast all your cares upon me because I care for you. Yes. Just rephrasing it, or paraphrasing it, sorry. But you sit there and you think, God cares about us. He loves us. He loves this woman the same way. The judgment seat of Christ is to determine if our works for God were good or not. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 and 10, it says, wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. You know, what are you doing good for Christ? But also, what are you doing bad? Are you giving it to Him? Are you praising God in the good and the bad? Because I tell you what, it's hard to praise God in the bad. Just being honest, I'm not saying it's easy at all. It's very hard. And again, you sit there and you think, raise a hand, you know, it's a Sunday night. How many of you guys have been made fun of for praising Christ? You sit there and you think, well, everybody in the room, you're like, oh yeah, me, of course. Well, I think this woman's the same way. She's over here just praising Christ. Oh, Jesus, you can have this. I'm all in, baby. And she's getting made fun of. And imagine how she kind of feels about it. You know, Satan's working, trying to just, you know, shove her away through the people. And she's just, you know, Jesus is right here. But if it was a public work there in verses 3 and 4, this work was done in front of complete strangers. Matthew 5, verses 5 through 16 says this, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candle and giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I want to go back to 14 here. Ye are the light of the world. A city shall not set on a hill cannot be hid. Is your light shining? Is it bright? Is it, or is it dim? Or is it, it's 50-50. Some days it's bright. You know, we got these candles that's up in the attic that we use for our candlelight service. And when we were putting them together, you know, some of them were like real dim. And we got to put some new batteries in them. And you sit there and think, just for an example, when you have a fire blazing. Brother Jake, and he invited me, but his girlfriend Claire, they had a huge fish fry. And she didn't invite me, but, you know, Jake did. And I said, well, thanks for the invite, Claire. But Jake's like, oh, man, you would enjoy this fire. And this fire is probably about as high as the ceiling. It was huge. And I'm like, well, I am jealous now. But you sit there and think, is that how bright your light is? Or is it just down here, just to the very light of the coals that's ready to go dim, ready to go out? Because if your fire is so high, then everybody should be able to see it. Everybody, I guess not everybody, but a lot of people should be clucking to that and saying, ooh, I want to be just like that person. Ooh, that person's really excited, and I wonder what he's excited about. Oh, that person's doing some good stuff. I want to get in on this. You sit there and think of how cool, you know, in the past 7 years that I've been here at Assurance Baptist Church, going from ground zero all the way to where we're at today, seeing, you know, how awesome and how everybody's growing and how the church is growing, from literally 15 people all the way to 165, 175 people. It's very exciting to see. But you got to be all in. Your fire has to be shining. You can't be dwindling down. And if your fire is dwindling down, well, don't sit there and just be like, I'm out. No, this is when you hang on to other brothers and sisters in Christ and they lift you up. Don't let it, just because your light's down. But it takes you to lift yourself up and allow Christ to help you. You can't sit there and just be a pity party. And, you know, Maisley was mad today when we went to Skyline for Smack because she didn't get a quarter. And she saw Braxton had a quarter because, you know, they get the little gumball machine. I can't stand places like that. I want a gumball, Dad. Can I have a quarter? I don't carry no quarters. All I got is a dollar. And then they go, a dollar, huh? It's sad that a little kid knows what a dollar is because they see me always changing it for some quarters. But you sit there and you think, Maisie, when we went there and she was mad, she was crying. And she was just, Dad, I want a gumball. She was just down. And that's how we act. We act like a bunch of sissified Christians that just cry about everything when somebody's making fun of us, when somebody's trying to help. But you can't sit there and be a sissified Christian and just be laying on the ground having a little baby spasm when you're trying to do the work for Christ. Either get up, ask for help. Other people around will help. Hey, what are you struggling with? You're struggling with anger issues? That was me this week. Whew. Again. Okay, well, let's help. But you sit there and think, again, going back, these people were angry. These people were all mad. These people were all pushing. Well, why would we waste all this? Why would we do that? Why would we do that? But you sit there and think, if your light is so shining, everybody should be able to see it. It was a protected work. You see there, let her alone. Why trouble her? It was a personal work. She hath wrought. And it was a praised work. It was good. Christ was pleased. He was awesome. I just sit there and try to picture just the face when, you know, she's coming down. And the Bible doesn't say, but I kind of just see her crying. Because she's excited. But at the same time, she's like, just like we are. Well, what's next? We sit there and say, well, I'm just going to use tithes for an example. Is we sit there and say, God, I don't really have much in the bank account. But, you know, I want to give you this. And just think of how God blessed her. And he blesses us just as well when we give all and not just a little piece of us. Number four, the extent of her work. There in verse 8 says this, she hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the bearing. She's done what she could. Are you doing what you can? Are you doing the things that God tells you to do? Are you going out witnessing? Are you going out and telling people about Christ? Are you letting your light so shine? Are you praying? Are you reading? You know, Grow is a wonderful ministry. If you've never gone to Grow, it's great. As far as one, yeah, you can say, oh, I get good exercise. But two, you get to talk to a decent amount of people. Here in Vandalia, man, they've been wonderful. I got to talk to two young guys this past week. They're just out there just trying to remodel a house. And I said, you guys know what you're doing? I'm like, don't worry, buddy. I got you too. But I sit there and think, Grow is important just to be able to witness to people, see people saved, and then be around other brothers and sisters in Christ and just seeing it grow. You know, going from family church in Virginia, they didn't have no help when they went out and did outreach. And then going to other churches and such and helping. You know, Assurance Baptist Church has a wonderful Grow ministry. There's not a lot of churches that where 30, 40 people just go out and everybody's looking out the windows like, whoa, what is this mob doing out here? Are they protesting? What are they doing? And we're just like, no, we're just telling people about Jesus.
Amen.
But you sit there and you see the extent of her work. She came, she's done what she could. Can people look at what you are doing for God and say that? Are you doing what you're supposed to? If you let God in your house today, and hopefully he's already there, but you know, if you let him in all the time, but if you say, you know, I'm going to go home and I'm going to get serious about God tonight, and you let him in, what is he going to say? Is your life a wreck? Are you doing the things for Christ? Are you doing the things you're supposed to be doing? But can God look down at mine and your labor, our investment, our love, and say, she hath done what she could? Because I'll be honest with you, I'm not there yet. There's more work to be done. And you sit there and think, going all the way back to the very beginning of this, just or your own personal, that you look up to, your own mentor, it could be a pastor, whatever it is, but just using Charlie as an example, is just look at all the things that he did just in his little short career. He helped some college students understand some things, if you can say debating, arguing, whatever it may be, but again, I don't care about that much. I just care about he still spread the love of Christ. And are you doing that? Or are you just having that hateful, angry person that just comes to church just to mark it off, and you just come and you sit down in your seat and you're just, I made it. And you don't do anything else. And then when preacher says, or not preacher, but when Brother Chuck says, all right, we're dismissed, you're the first one right to your car and you're gone. But then you're the first person to call preacher when you're sick. And then either him, myself, Xavier, whoever can go and visit you. And then so on and so forth. How many of God's people do nothing? A lot. You sit there and think what preacher said this morning. There's 1,000 other people that's in service today, but they're not serious enough about the Lord. Their heart's not ready. You sit there and you think about that. But you see how serious it is. I don't know the numbers. Some of you guys may know, but there's so many churches in today's world where they completely canceled Sunday night services. They don't think it's important. I need Sunday night. I need Wednesday night. I need Sunday morning. I'm just being honest with you. You know what? But you see how important church is. Because less of this, less of church, less of praying, less of reading and studying God's word, there's more and more what you see out here. How many do just enough to say they did something? A lot. How many do just enough to get by and ease their conscience? A lot. And hopefully that's nobody in here tonight. Number 5, and I'm done here. Verse 9, it says this. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. You see the last part of that verse, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for memorial of her. We celebrate Memorial Day. We celebrate Labor Day. We celebrate all these other holidays as such, of the 4th of July, Martin Luther King, President's Day, Veterans Day. But you sit there and you think of, you know, she's being remembered. You go through the faith book, is what I call it there in Hebrews chapter 11. You go through all the men and women in faith. And they're remembered of something, just like this woman. And it goes back to the very beginning. What are you going to be remembered of when you're gone? You know, I think of Senator Tom Megan. Some of you guys may know, some of you guys may not. But I'm going to get the movie wrong. Coco. This is why my mom says, she calls, tells me all the time, son, you don't have a lot of photos on your wall. Well, one day I'm going to sell this house and I want a lot of holes in my wall. You go to her house and down our hallway, both sides, it's just like, oh, that's your great-great uncle. Oh, that's your great-great aunt. And it just goes on both sides. And this is what, when I read the story, this is what I think of. Oh, that's her. That's the woman that gave the ointment. Oh, that right there was David. Oh, that right there is Paul. Oh, that right there, and so on and so forth. And you go all the way down. It's the same exact thing as she's being remembered of what she's done. Can your photo be on that wall of so-and-so, man, he was known for this. So-and-so, he was known for that. So-and-so was named for that. You know, it's so cool to sit there and think about, you know, sitting there just thinking about, you know, going through, and you know, just my own family. Again, I'm one of the first in my family that's actually, you know, a Bible-believing Christian, and going through and just looking at my family, you know, a lot of them are going to be known as, oh, you're funny. Well, that's cool. But again, I don't want to be known as a Bible reader. I want to be known as a person that's sitting there telling others about Christ. I want to be known for the person that, you know, that's friendly around other people. You know, I can keep going and going and going. But what are you going to be known for when you're gone? The whole world is talking about this woman's work. The whole world is reading about her sacrifice and her love for the Lord. 2,000 years later, and we are preaching about it. But this also that she hath done. What will people be saying about what you and I are doing? Years from now, what will they be saying about what we are doing? What will people remember about our love for Jesus? What are you doing for your kids? What are you doing for your grandkids? What kind of things are you setting out for them? What kind of things are you teaching them? What kind of things are you doing for them? Because, you know, there's too many parents, especially young parents, and this drives me bonkers, and this is why my mom and my mother-in-law, they got my kids some stupid tablets, and it drives me nuts. If you have it, I'm not, this is just my own family, is, oh, they really need a tablet. No, they don't! Go outside and play! We got a nice little creek that goes out in our backyard. Go swim with the fish. Get off the stupid tablet. One of the tablets, I don't even know where it went. They bought another one. I don't even know where that one's at. Now we're down to one tablet, praise God. And it's like, oh, you're getting it only when we go on vacation or we go on long trips. There's too many people that sit here on this, and that's what they're going to be known for, is because they're on this. It drives me nuts that, again, I don't want to be prideful or anything like that, but I feel like I'm the only one in my family that's serious enough about the Lord. And when we're at family events, half of them, it saddens me when I go to dinner and, you know, you're going and your whole family, whatever, of four or two kids, you got the kids that's, again, oh, mommy, let me have your phone, I need it. And then they're on this the whole time. There's no family time. What happened to that? Is that what you're going to be known for? Is, oh, I just keep my kids busy so I can just do whatever I want? It drives me bonkers. But you sit there and you think, what are you doing for your kids? You sit there and think, yes, this is the generation now, but your kids is the next generation that's coming up in this world. And are they going to be the ones that says, I'm going to go ye therefore? Or are they going to be the one that sits here at Bedside Baptist and does nothing? Will it be a lesson of love? Will it be a lesson in personal sacrifice? There needs to be a lot of that. There needs to be a lot of, you know, sacrifices, whatever it may be. Sometimes, you know, you got to put this down on a little bit of a whatever. I got it on this. What do you call that? Do not disturb mode, so nobody texts you, so you can actually dig a little bit in God's word. Sometimes you got to just turn it off and get rid of it completely. You know, sometimes I am bad about it, especially since I do my own little thing on the side of, as far as ministry goes. Megan's like, on vacation, do not answer your phone for any side work. I got it. Woo! I'm not going to answer it. And you sit there and you think, it's so important to be in God's Word, studying, being with family. Because again, what are you going to be known for when you're gone? Our life should be one that provokes one another to love and good works. To do that, it should be an example of love and good works. We got enough lazy bums in this world. We need some more hard workers. And this woman was a hard worker. Obviously, she had an alabaster box of ointment and all kinds of other stuff. And she said, you can have it. So she's a hard worker. And so, I'm done. I'm asking, what are you going to be known for? Is your light dim right now? Or are you on fire? This is the time of year when I personally struggle, because I know next month is the worst month of my life. When the stupid time goes back or forward, whatever it may be, when we get a whole hour more of darkness and it's just annoying to me. But don't let that hinder you from the work of God. Do something for Christ and love God. Give Him your all. Can I have eyes closed, head bowed? So tonight, this woman, she was known for what she's done. So my question for you Christians is, again, what are you going to be known for? Maybe you've already said, oh, I'm already going to be known for this. But what can you add to that? There's a lot of things you can do for Christ. You say, well, what is that? Let your light so shine. Be a Bible reader. Have a great prayer life. Tell people about Jesus. Be a Jesus freak. Be a Jesus follower. You can keep going and going and going. But I ask you, and I challenge you this. Do something for Christ. And if your light's dim, ask for help. Don't sit there and just struggle with it alone. That's what other brothers and sisters in Christ are for, is to help you. And for the ones that, for a Sunday night, you say, I don't even know who Christ is. You know, God sent His only Son, according to John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Word everlasting, there's forever. I tell a lot of little kids, forever. Forever. And so my question is, if there's somebody in here that says, I never put my full faith in the Christ, if you could just raise your eyes to me. I don't want to leave here. I know it's a hometown crowd. But as the music plays, if the Lord spoke to you this evening,